Start. We're on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, Amar Reb Vav. So we already identified the elder judge who was Reb Yochanan. Remember, he didn't understand why he was staying there in Tzipori, right? So he moved on because of the elder judge that argued with him. And we had a machlokes. Remember, just to recount, we had a machlokes by the egg that's born on Yom Tov Rishon that precedes Shabbos, that we said that it's a machlokes tanoim, that the Chachamim hold that there's no machlokes beis Shammai beis Hillel, and everybody would hold what? That it would be muteras on Shabbos because it's shtei kedushas, right? That was the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said that adayin hu machlokes, right? And Rabbi Yochanan passing like Chachamim, and the Chacham, this Zaken, whoever he was, the elder judge, he disputed Rabbi Yochanan on both counts. In other words, it happens to be it's a machlokes Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda in both cases as to whether you paskin by shvius, whether mustard is asr or mutter, right? Then the Chacham holds it's asr, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's mutter by mustard, and reversed in terms of chumra and kula by the egg, the Chachamim hold it's mutter and Rabbi Yehuda hold it's still machlokes. Because he holds it's kedusha achas, so it's the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda goes with chumra, and the chacham goes with kula. Okay, so the Rabbi Yochanan passing like the chacham. Amar Rava also of the coming Rabbi Yasa. So this incident came from Rabbi Yasa. Rava mevnik Rabbi Yochanan. He wanted to do like Rabbi Yochanan said, to allow the egg to be eaten on the second day. Kachshma the Rav v'Rav Chanina misbalgin. When he heard that they both Rav and Rav Chanina argue on Rabbi Yochanan, so Shara Mina, he withdrew from the case, from the ruling, let's say. It says over here in footnote 1 that Rabbi Yasa is none other than Rabasi, who was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, I don't know what that means. Yasa is the same as Rabasi. That's the same. It's the same person. Okay, I guess the Yud and the Aleph are interchangeable. I guess. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the elder judge who contradicted Rabbi Yochanan was Rabbi Chanina. Now we have Rabbi Chanina and Rav discussing their view regarding the egg. The Spalgon, they Rabbi Chanina, Rav, and Rabbi Yochanan, they disagreed in the following case. Shorei Psilo. Let's suppose you have a wick that's left over. In other words, this is the case, Dafka, where Shabbos is first and then comes Yom Tov, and you lit the wick on Erev Shabbos to, you know, that it should be lit, you know, whatever, however long. And it went out before its time. So now, what's the rule? Shorei Psila, the remains of the wick. Shorei Meduna, the remains of a torch. Shorei Shem, the remains of the oil. Shakovu b'Shabbos went out on Shabbos. Malalikim b'Yom Tov. The question is, could you light them on Yom Tov that follows? Because on Shabbos it's the din of Muktzeh Machmas Isser. Because at the time that the wick was lit, it was miyuchad for, you couldn't touch it because if you're going to touch it, you're going to make it get brighter or less bright, wikibli or mavir. So it's Muktzeh Machmas Isser. So on Shabbos it was also ben Hashmash, it's also, and therefore it's also the whole Shabbos, even if it goes out. Okay, so the question is, well, what about on Yom Tov? Now, they speak out on the bottom. Now, if Yom Tov was before, this whole Shiloh would not apply. Why? Because on Yom Tov, there's no Muktzah, because you can light a lamp on Yom Tov, right? You can make it. You can turn it on. So it wouldn't be Muktzeh Machmas Isser to begin with. That's why I Dafka told you that we're talking about where it's Shabbos first. That way you have the Muktzah that precedes... that precedes the Yom Tov, and if it's Kedusha Achas, so it will become Muktzah. If it was Muktzah on Shabbos, it will remain Muktzah through the Yom Tov. So that's the question. Ma'olat Hadlik be Yom Tov. So, Rav Chanina, Tarveinu Amrin, Osir. So they both said, Rav Chanina said it's Osir. In other words, it's Kedusha Achas. The 2 days of Shabbos and Yom Tov are one continuous period of sanctity, Kedusha Achas, right? And Rabbi Yochanan says, Mutter, like we keep saying, that he holds it Shnei Kedushas. So now, it says over here, that there's this paragraph here of English over here at the top, that Rabbi Chanina and Rav derived the law of the wick extinguished on the first day from the law of the egg. They're similar questions, right? If it's the egg is muksa on the day one, so then it'll become muksa on day two if it's kedusha achas and vice versa if it's day kedusha. So it seems to be the same type of halach. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar Reb Manav Kumi Reb Yudon Mo Ab Chala Psila Gava Beit. Why do you confuse the law of the wick with the egg? They're not comparable. That's what it says at the top. They're not comparable. Now at the bottom, they explain why they're not comparable. Now, number eight, looking inside so we can see why it's not comparable. So the Gemara is arguing that the two cases are in fact not comparable. Why? In the case of the egg, had it been laid on the Yom Tov, let's say Yom Tov would have come out on Erev Shabbos, right? If the egg would have been laid on Yom Tov, right, then it would have been prohibited because, you know, Beit HaShanel to Yom Tov is Mutzah. Since the egg's prohibition is generally applicable on festivals as well as Sabbaths, so therefore the festival is a continuation of the Sabbath with regard to this prohibition. In other words, in a case, let's suppose Yom Tov was after Shabbos. So we understand that it's the same Isser. If it would have been born on Yom Tov, it would have been Osir. If it was born on Shabbos, it was Osir. So it's Osir, Osir, so it's one continuous Isser, and we understand easily why it's Kedusha Achas and why it would be Osir by the egg. Therefore, the egg laid on Shabbos remains prohibited throughout the festivals. But let's talk about the wick for a second. The wick does not apply during the festivals, as I just told you before, right? If a wick kindled on the outset of the festival day is extinguished during the festival, it may be rekindled, for neither the flame nor the wick nor the oil is prohibited as muksa on a festival. Cause of prohibition of the wick does not generally apply on a festival. The festival should not be considered a continuation of the Sabbath. With regard to this prohibition, and a wick extinguished on the Sabbath should not be prohibited on the festival day on the follows, contrary to the teaching of Rav Hanina and Rav. Right? In other words, it's very simple, right? It's one. One is going to be the Beit HaShanel Yom Tov is Osir, and the wick that goes out on Yom Tov is not Osir. So therefore, how can you compare? Maybe one, right? One case it makes sense for it to be Kedusha Achas, and one case it doesn't make sense for it to be Kedusha Achas. That was his question. This is what lies behind the question of why do you confuse the law of a wick with that of an egg? Yishami doesn't explain it at the top. You have to read the bottom to understand what they're trying to get at. So he answers. On Malay, so he answers back. 71:82. So he answers back. Min madan al chamei rabbanim medami lo. We see the rabbis did compare the two halachas. Hador mo hi hador hi hador. We see, obviously, since they're making a statement that they are comparable, so they obviously are analogous. Now, why are they analogous? So, again, not explained at the top. So you have to go to the bottom, again. Number 10, you have a nice footnote over here. Skip over the first paragraph. R. Samach explains, the question of whether the wick's prohibition should be extended to the festival revolves around a fundamental question regarding the essential nature of muksa. This is a very big yesod. Herzuk, is an item become muksa merely because a person sets it aside in his mind? In other words, akse mi daite in Hebrew, right? Is the Inyan of Muksa because I set it aside in my mind not to be used further on this day? Once it was set for something, I put it out of my mind. So if I lit a candle, a lamp, and the wick and the oil and the lamp, I was completely moxed from my das. I had no intention to use it any further on Shabbos. Can't touch it. So the haksah, it's not, in other words, we call it Muksa Machmasister, but what we really mean is that because there's an Isser that surrounds this Maisa of Hadlaka, so I max it from my Das. The main thing is, how do I view this thing? I max it. I completely remove any plan of touching it. That's the Yisod of Muksa. So the Gemara first assumed that an item is Muksa only if it's actually unusable. The Gemara therefore argued that since a lamp is permitted for use on festival, the muksa prohibition should not carry over to the festival day that follows. whether it's usable or not is what determines whether it's muksa. The Gemara concludes, based on the rabbis who compare them, that even if an item is intrinsically fit for use on the holy day, it can still be muksa as long as the person sets it aside in his mind as being not for Shabbos use. According to this understanding, the primary reason for muksa is the person's having removed it from consideration for Sabbath use The particular prohibition that engenders a muksa is merely the proximate reason for the person having set the item aside in his mind. So in the case of a consecutive Shabbos and festival, once the person decides that a particular item, meaning the kindle lamp, is not for Sabbath, so then it remains muksa for the duration of the period of the sanctity until the end of the festival, even though the original impetus that created the muksa is not relevant to the festival. Because I was moxing it from my das. Okay? So, this is the beer of the explanation. This is what the Arsamach is explaining. What what happened between before and after. Well, this is the Gemara, Omen Aleph. Not Omen Aleph. It's both Omen Aleph. The previous page that we were just saying. We said that, Lachar, how can you compare them? And now the Gemara is saying, well, they are comparable. What happened? What changed? The answer is that before we were just looking at functionally, is there a muksa there or not? Now we're looking more at the way the person's viewing it in his das. He's maksid from his das, and therefore it would be muksa across the board. Okay? Mishum Abbasa came to Marvel. They said over the name of the four elders the following. Kol Nechel Be'eruv Berishon, and we're talking about Eruv Tchumen, of course. And you know that in an Eruv Tchumen, you have, let's say, let's talk about Yom Tov and Shabbos next, which I'll make it so it's an even Eretz Yisrael, right? So you have Yom Tov, there's an Issa Tchumen, and Shabbos is an Issa Tchumen. You want to go, sorry, I don't know what's going on here. I just started coughing a minute before. That's okay. 2,000 Amos, you want to go extended to the east of the city. You put an Erev Tchumen at the 2,000 Amma mark, and you can go an additional 2,000 Amma in that direction. You lose the 2,000 Amma in the other direction, right? You lose whatever you add on the opposite side, right? So if you want to go that way, 4,000 Amma to the east, that's fine. But let's suppose on day one, right? Let's talk about the case where it gets eaten. It gets eaten. So Ben Hashemash is a Friday. You set it up, and the Erev, as long as it's Kayim Ben Hashemash, it's a good Erev, and you can go to the 2,000 Amos. But now on Friday afternoon, it gets eaten. Now it disappeared. So now the rule is, what's going to be right? Are you going to lose? Am I going to become like the Bnei Ha'ir? When I say I become like the Bnei Ha'ir, that means I'm like everybody else. 2,000 Amos that way, 2,000 Amos that way, and I can't go any further.
No, you're not going to.
It's one or the other. In other words, it could be that even it gets eaten, but the fact is it's Kedusha Achas. It's considered one big long day, and therefore Shabbos you had the 2,000, and Yom Tov is just an extension of Shabbos, and therefore you'll be able to continue to go that 2,000 Amos. Those are the choices, okay? Is it Kedusha Achas and I get it even though it's eaten? Or do I say, no, once it's eaten, I need a separate Erev for the second day. Since there is no Erev in place, I lose it, and therefore I become like the Bnei Ha'ir. So that's what we're talking about over here.
So it's not Shabbos, Yom Tov. It's Shabbos,
Shabbos
and
then
Yom Tov.
What's
it's
that? Separate.
It's Shabbos.
Shabbos on Saturday, and then Yom Tov the next day. Correct. That will be the case. Okay. So, this is what it says. Kol ha'nechel be'eruv ha'berishon, whenever the Erev is consumed on the first day, harehu kivnei iro ba'sheni. So then he loses the extra 2,000 and he becomes like the rest of the people in the city on the second day. The 2 days are deemed two separate kedushas, right? So the Erev of the first day is not effective for the second if it was consumed. That was the Arba Zikanim that sent us. Okay, so the four Zikanim are saying that we have Shtei Kedushas. Now, Rav Huna B'Shem Rav, he said, Halacha Kabar Zikanim. Who would have Paskin like that? That is Shtei Kedushas. Okay? Now, So, Rav Chista, now we're on 71B, Ayin Alf on base. Rav Chista Boy. So, Rav Chista had the following question. So that was Rav that we just quoted. It was Rav Huna B'Shem Rav, right? Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, Paskin like the before Zakenim. Rav holds it's Shtei Kedushas, basically what we're saying so far. So now he's going to ask a stira. So Rav Pista boy, Miklafa Shitasi the Rav, we have a stira in Rav's platform. Taman, who Avad Lash Day Kedushas, so over there when it comes to the air, he treats it like two Kedushas. The Khan, but over here by the lamp, who Avad Lash Kedusha Achas, he treated it like a single continuous period of sanctity, the Ispalgan, because they disagreed. Shari Psila, Shari Madur, Shari Shemen, Shakavu B'Shabbos, Mo Lahadlikon B'Yomtif. Vravra Kanino, Travein Amrit Osir, they both said it's Osir to use it on the second day, right? So if Rav is saying by the case of the lamp that you can't use the lamp on the second day, he obviously continues the Muksa from Shabbos into the Yom Tov, and it's considered Kedusha Achas. Whereas over here by the Erev, he passing like the Arba Zakenim, then Shtei Kedushas. We have a Mitlafashi Tase Darav. That's his contradiction. Have you got it? Okay. So, every Yatran says this month, right? So, Rav prohibits the leftover wick torn. Now, hold on a second. The Gemara. What he's going to say in footnote 1 here, he says, Rav prohibits the leftover wick, torch, and oil because he've used the consecutive Shabbos and festivals in one continuous period. This contradicts his ruling regarding the Erev. And in number 1, he says, the Gemara does not resolve the question. The Gemara asks the question, does not give an answer to the question. However, in the Bavli, he says in the footnote, Erev in 38b, Beitza 4a, the Gemara points out a similar contradiction and does resolve it. The Gemara there asks, in the case of the egg laid on the first of consecutive Shabbos and festival days, the Rav ruled that it's prohibited on the second day, which implies that the 2 days are viewed as a single Kedusha Achas, right? In the case of the Erev Tchumen, however, he says in accordance with the four elders that the 2 days are viewed as two separate periods of sanctity. Bavli answers, in fact, Rav holds that the Sabbath and festival days are regarded as independent periods of sanctity. They really are Shtei Kedushas. I, Sim Kang, why is the egg Osir? It should be Mutter. The answer is because of Hakana de Rabba. A whole different reason. There's a din of Hachana de Rabba that you can't have Shabbos preparing for Yom Tov, and since the egg was laid on Shabbos, it's preparing it for Yom Tov, and because of the special Isra of Hachana de Rabba, has nothing to do with Shtei Kedusha Achas, and it has to do with the din of Hachana de Rabba. Hachana de Rabba is a separate halacha, and that's why it's Osir. That's the Gemara's answer in the Bavli. Okay, that's what he brings down over here. And he goes into why the Yerushalmi doesn't hold like that. You have to read the full footnote 1 to get the flavor for why does the Yerushalmi not hold like the Bavli. Yeah, that's too much kopel for now. Okay. Next. The Gemara now just repeats the same thing. This doesn't add anything. It's just repeating what it said before. Amar Rav Mana Chumei Rav Yoidon. He said, Ma Epes La Psilo Gava Beitza. Why are you confusing the law of the wick with the egg? They're not comparable. We see the rabbis compare them, so we see they are the same. That's just a repeat of what we said before. Okay. Now, the Mishnah said that Reb Shimon said all after growths except the cabbage are mutter. The cabbage was treated more stringently. Why? The likes of the cabbage don't exist among the vegetables. The cabbage has something special. What does that mean? Because there's nothing like it, so therefore it's also, what does it even mean? So the Gemara says, because the cabbage grow mother plants, as large as cultivated cabbages. Basically what he's saying is, normally cultivated vegetables are larger than the wild ones that grow. But when it comes to cabbage, even a wild one will grow to be the size of a cultivated one. So since they are very, very interchangeable, so we have to be machmer. That's basically what he's saying. Okay? That's what it says here. Okay. The nature doctrine of Legali mostly is strong because it creates mother plants, they should be usher. Any other vegetable, you could look at the vegetable and examine it And you could see, is it from the new Shvius? And know that it's Asar and Yashin, or it's old from the sixth year. Bram Hachabo, when it comes to the cabbage, it's so large that it's very hard to tell the difference between the Svichei, the ones that are Svichen, and the ones that are from the previous year. That I brought it from the permitted aftergrowths. And therefore, because it's impossible to tell the difference, so therefore they become also. Basically, the Gemushalmi is saying cabbages are harder to detect. That's the Svar of Reb Shimon. Having discussed the case of new plantings that cannot be distinguished, the Gemara sounds a brisa that discusses old plantings that can be distinguished from new ones. Luf, again, we're going to review. It's our favorite. Our favorite vegetable, Shapsi, is the luf. It's that underground onion that stays in the ground for up to 3 years. It could be in the sixth year, in the seventh year, in the eighth year. It could be in the ground. What's that? Spring onions? Anyway, so it says, we don't require him to uproot the sixth-year luf in the shvius year. You can leave it as is. It's common to leave the luf in the ground as long as 3 years. So the person who sees you working with the luf in the eighth year will not be choshet that you planted it in the seventh year. If the luf grows further after the seventh year, mutter, it's permitted for consumption in the eighth year, even though it continued to grow throughout the shvius year. The shvius year was preceded by the sixth year, and therefore it's just more growth, which is muteris. When it comes to the artichoke, you don't have to uproot the six-year artichoke in the seventh year, because these plants often sprout on their own. An observer will not assume that the owner planted it. He has to pull away the leaves, because those apparently do grow on the seventh year. And then if the artichoke grows further, then it's mutter. Again, it was the status of those vegetables are determined when they're picked, and that determines when they have Kedusha Shvius. They're picked in the eighth year, and therefore there's no problem. And people know about it, right? And it's an artichoke. And I don't know what an artichoke is, but
it's delicious.
It's delicious. An artichoke is delicious. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, well, wait a second. The Brisa said that the leaves have to be destroyed from the seventh year. But L'chaira, the Gemara asks Akasha, the seventh year leaves, even though they may not be roi for a human to eat, but they are roi for an animal to eat. And the same way, there's an isser of destroying something that's roi l'achilas adam, it's also aser to destroy something that's roi l'achilas behemoth. That's the Gemara's next kasha. V'loy nimsa ma'abed oichle behema. How could you go ahead and destroy these leaves of the artichoke? It's osur. The Gemara says, may lay in of him. Of course, you're not going to destroy it via daim. You'll just pick it off the plant and just leave it on the ground. It'll dry out and it'll be all by itself. You're not going to do it via daim. Now, the sages, they disagreed with Rabbi Shimon. They said, no, all aftergrowths are usher. Remember, we spoke out that they argue on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the mustard was mutter, and he holds no, the Chacham hold no, that even the mustard is also usher. That's what we explained when we read the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Hava Avar B'Shmitza. Now, Rabbi Shimon Yochai is passing through the countryside during the Shemitah year. The Chamochad Malakit Shvias, he sees a guy gathering Shvias produce in the fields on Malay. So he says to the guy, less usher. Isn't this forbidden? I gotta say, I have a kinship with Rav Shimon Yochai. When I see something being done that's not correct, I like to bring point out. I say, how can you do that? Are you allowed to do that? Right. Saw people talking in shul during the recitation of the Al Anisim on Shabbos Hanukkah, in the back of the Beis Medrash, they were talking. And I said to them, what's going on with you guys? Do you realize this is the Prasume Nisa? The whole holiday is the Ala Nisim, and you're sitting back here talking Vorm B'Talim during Chazaras
Hashatz? There's a difference. Other people do the same thing.
Right. Reb Shimon Yochai, I think, liked doing it also. Amalei, so he said, Les Osir, isn't it Osir? Vlav, Svachaninen, aren't these svichin? Why, how could you be eating these vegetables, right? So he said, Amalei, the person said to him, V'lo'atum matirin? Aren't you the one? You're Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says in the Mishnah that all cost svachim mutarin except for the cabbage. So what are you talking to me about it? You're the one that holds its mutter, right? I'm doing like you, Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon in the Mishnah Stam is Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. It's the same person, right? So Amalei, so when I'm in base now, so he says, Amalei, he says, you think you're so smart? In Chavei, right, Chalukin Alai, don't my fellow Chachamim argue on me? You can't adopt my kula against the Rabbim. I'm a Yochid, they're a Rabbim. He said, person knocks down the fence, he's going to be bitten by a snake. And guess what? As the case would be with Reb Shimon Ben Yochai, if he says something, it happens. The Chayin Havaslai, and he was bitten by a snake, and that was the end of him. Anyway, I don't like to be happy about a guy being bitten by a snake.
What happened to the guys that you told?
I got bitten by the snake. Yeah, nothing happened. It looked at me like I was like we should know. Anyway, shtak l'mayin, shtak l'rais, like my mother used to say, the maisa is ice. And we'll continue tomorrow, B'lech Hashem, on 72, with more stories from Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. Really, really good story.